Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight and we bless you for this opportunity to grow, to be taught, to be imparted. Lord, we thank you for this great ministry, this great vision. Thank you for Wine Press. The Bible declares that they go from strength to strength, as many as appear before the Lord in Zion. I pray that we will rise and we will go from glory to glory. Let your word come with power. Let it come with clarity. Let it edify us. Let it build us tonight. And I pray in the name of Jesus that within the time that we have to share, let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed be delivered. And as always, let Jesus be revealed and Jesus glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. My joy to be here. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Let me very quickly bless and honor the man of God and his dear wife, Pastor Bolaji. Please honor him for me and his dear wife. And I want to sincerely celebrate all of the pastors, the leaders, and all who are part of this vision. Let's honor them. Great work. May the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Please be seated. While I prayed and inquired of the Lord on what to share tonight, I had a vision. This is how I want to start tonight. I had a vision, and in that vision, it was a room, and I just saw people moving and they were lamenting, and it looked as though something was missing. This is what I saw in my vision, and they were looking around, and then all of a sudden light came and the people began to rejoice, and I had the word restoration. This, I want you to believe every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I'll be teaching very, very briefly on the principle of restoration, and then we'll pray. I trust that as we pay attention, we'll not only learn, but that the power and the grace to make that word become a reality in our lives will be released even whilst the word comes. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible lets us know that it is possible for men to lose people, relationships, as we see all through Scripture. In the Bible, people lost loved ones, people lost relationships. In the Bible, it is also clear that people can lose things. We see that things were lost in the Bible. For instance, the story of the axe head that fell. He said, "Alas, master, it was borrowed." So we see that people can lose things. But we also see from Scripture that people can lose time. That it is not only men that can be lost. It is not only things that can be lost. But the greatest loss as recorded by Scripture and from Scripture is time. Is that true? So, God is able to restore people. We see that in stories that depict resurrection. Resurrection is a type of restoration. And then we see God restoring things, not just over the lives of individuals, but even over nations. The prophet said, "By this time tomorrow." And there was a complete restoration of the economic dignity of a region. But then the Bible also says that in God's dealing with men, he is so mighty that he sustains the power to restore even time. Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. Joel 2 and verse 25. Joel 2 and verse 25. I will restore to you the years, not just the things. You can have the restoration of relationships. You can have the resurrection of things. But let me tell you, real dominion is dominion over time. Because the unit of destiny is measured in time. When you meet a dying man, he will not ask you for more things. When you meet a dying man, his greatest request is time. Because if you can give him time, every other thing can be found in time. Are we together now? When you lose relationships under a certain condition, you can easily have another relationship. When you lose things, people have lost monies, people have lost properties, and with time, they got it back. But when you lose time, there is no factor that guarantees the restoration of time again. Are we together now? Yes, because it is not given unto men to live in the past physically. But God is saying, in my dealings with men, I can restore people, I can restore things, and I can restore time. This is very important. I examined the subject of losses. It is a word that people do not want to hear. The moment I mention a loss or losses, either to a businessman or someone who just lost a loved one, it's not a word that anyone wants to be associated with at all. Is that true? When you hear the word profit, you hear the word gain. Now, these are words that we like. Nobody wants to hear the word loss or losses. And by the Spirit of God, very quickly, I just want to exhort us. I'm not really doing an extensive exegesis of God's word, just a charge, really, so that we can pray. A few reasons why individuals lose in life. Please pay attention. Tonight's message can be a lifeline for someone based on that which God showed me. There are a number of reasons. And in as much as every new year, every new season, we aspire for the best of God in our lives and our destinies, if we do not know what makes for a life of defeat and retrogression, we will continue repeating the same mistakes. And you have every new year look like the former year, in spite of the prophetic words. And so God is giving us a chance by His word to be able to ascend through knowledge to a higher realm where our results become predictable. You can know that you are done with losses and retrogression. Are we together now? Our confidence in this kingdom is based on the integrity of God's word. There are two qualities of God that the believer builds his confidence upon. Number one is his integrity. Number two is his ability. These are the pillars of the believer's confidence. So when people ask you, based on what do you think God will not fail you? It is based on his integrity. God is not a man that he should lie. He is not a man. You may have heard it in my teachings that God only became a man, but he is not a man. Are we together? Yes. The Bible tells us that men lie. They don't lie because they are bad. They lie because they are men. So it says God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man. That is the basis of your confidence. It means God only says what he can do. So if you hear God say anything, he has vetted his ability to find out that what he has said, it is within his power to make it come to pass. Are we together now? This is very powerful. So his integrity and his ability. Let's examine a few reasons why people experience losses of all kinds in their lives. Are you learning already? Number one, lack of discernment. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's study a few scriptures as fast as we can. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Lack of discernment. It says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Say discernment. Discernment is very important. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3. These are scriptures that show us the danger of not having discernment. Isaiah 1, 3. It says, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people doth not consider. That means these people have not built themselves to be able to discern. We lose in life because we do not know how to discern. The faculty of spiritual perception, the ability to know what God is doing. In these days, if you lack discernment, you will lose a lot of things. It can cost you even your bishopric. He said his bishopric, let another take. Are we blessed? Ezekiel chapter 12. Let's look at one or two more scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 12, we'll start from verse 1 and 2. Ezekiel chapter 12 from verse 1 and 2. The word of the Lord also came to me saying, please let's read verse 2 together. Ready? 1, 2, read. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious people. It says, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are. That is his definition of lack of discernment. That you have eyes and yet you do not see. You have ears and you do not hear. People lose because they do not have the ability to see and to hear. Very, very powerful. Acts 28 and verse 27. Let that be the last verse for this, and then we'll jump to the next. Acts 28 and verse 27. He said that, for the heart of these people is wax gross, for their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. There is a relationship between discernment and restoration. There is a relationship between lack of discernment and losses. Many people, many believers have not trained their faculty of spiritual perception to discern. Discern people, discern opportunities, discern seasons. It says, and of the sons of Issachar, men who had the understanding of the times, and that they knew what Israel ought to do. And because of that, their brethren were at their command. Number two, why do people lose in this kingdom? Carelessness. Number two, carelessness. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, where we read, Hebrews 2 and verse 3. Just pay attention to these scriptures and let them speak to your spirit. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape, it says, if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them which heard him? How shall we escape when there is neglect, carelessness? Many believers have demonstrated carelessness across every area of their lives. Carelessness with opportunities, carelessness with moments, carelessness with prophetic words. Are we together now? Yes. Judges chapter 11. Let's read from verse 30. We're discussing the reasons why people lose in this kingdom as an attempt to understand the value of restoration. And we said number one is lack of discernment, the absence of it. Number two, carelessness. Are we there? Judges 11 from verse 30. Remember the story of Jephthah? Pay attention. It says, Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord. You will see the consequence of carelessness right now. Carelessness with words, carelessness with commitments. It says, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon unto my hands. We're reading to 35. Then it shall be that whatsoever comfort out of the door to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Say carelessness. This is a man who is speaking carelessly. This is clearly emotions. That Lord, if you give me victory, anything that comes out of my house, I will give you as a burnt offering. Follow closely. So Jephthah passed over to the children of Ammon to fight against them. And the Lord delivered them into his hands. Are we still here? And he smote them, even until all of those places. And thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. 34. It says, and Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house. And behold, who came out? His daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. And she was his only child. Say carelessness. We lose things in life because we do not allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. People make careless statements, careless commitments. And many of us, the reason why we've not been able to experience advancement and even restoration is because we make careless commitments. Carelessness. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. 35. And it came to pass, when he saw her, he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. There are people who made commitments that were beyond their financial level. Emotionally, they just met a family of 10 people and said, I will take care of all of you to university. And the wife said, but how, what is the financial state of the family? Said, and they clapped for you when you spoke it, and they captured it on TV. Carelessness, hasty in speech, carelessness, especially with words. There are people who have said things that they wish they did not say, because careless utterances have cost people years. Damage control for years. Is someone learning now? Yes, the reason why we lose in this kingdom, carelessness. Carelessness. In Matthew chapter 14, when you read from verse 6 to 11, I don't know if we can look at it, is a parable, the parable of the talent. Remember, he gave unto one 5, he gave unto one 2, he gave unto Matthew 14. Let's look at it from verse 6. Sorry, that was the story of Herodias. Keep it, let's just read it since you've put it up. The Bible says, when Herodias' birthday was kept, when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased who? Are you ready to see carelessness again? Please read verse 7. 1 to read. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her. You see how careless people are? How in the world do you stand as a king who is responsible for the destinies of many, and simply because a lady danced before you and you were happy, and you made a careless statement that anything, that means if she said, get up from that throne. Are we together now? Verse 8. And she, being therefore instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. You see it now. That every time people do careless things and say careless things, eventually. Why do we lose in this kingdom? Because we are not thoughtful. We are not guided by the word. We are not guided by the spirit. You see, there are three faculties. Let me teach you this very quickly. I wish I had time. There are three faculties by which we interact with this realm and we make decisions. I will start from the third. The third is emotions. It is the weakest of all because it vacillates. Number two is reason based on logic and principles. It is stronger than emotions. The highest number one is discernment. You see, so we have emotions, we have reason that is based on principles. Emotions are based on feelings. They vacillate and they change. Reasoning is based on principles. And so there is a measure of stability. But the highest is discernment, because it is based on the voice of God. It is based on the word of God. Are we together now? That means I can look at your life and know which of these faculties you have exalted. If I see the vacillations around your decisions, I know that you have exalted emotions above reason and above discernment. If I see that you are excessively philosophical with no honor to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, I know you have exalted reason above emotion and above discernment. In this order, it is discernment, then reason, then emotions. When the devil wants to destroy people, he manipulates them, because he's the master of the sense realm, to exalt their emotions. The moment you get to the realm of emotions, you are in Satan's domain. He will play miserably with you. Can I tell you this? Both frustration and excitement can lead to emotions. So whether you are responding from a state of excitement or a state of frustration, if you are not careful and you are not guided, you can be careless. This man was excited and he said, young girl, whatever it is that you want, I will give it to you. And she met her mom and said, mom, look at this offer. And the mom said, finally, I have a chance to kill a prophet. And they killed him in a miserable way, as though the Spirit of God was never upon him. That's the implication of carelessness. Are we learning? Number three, very quickly. Why do we lose in this kingdom? Ignorance of the laws of the kingdom. Ignorance of the laws of the kingdom. In Psalm 82 and verse 5, popular scripture, it says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. They know not. They know not. This is a kingdom that thrives by knowledge. Proverbs 19 and verse 2. Proverbs 19 and verse 2. The Bible says, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Proverbs 19 and verse 2. Are we there? It says also that the soul, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. I was quoting another scripture. It says, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. So it is not good to be without knowledge. Lay your hands on your head in 1 minute and declare that this year 2022, this is the year you will contend for superior spiritual knowledge. Go ahead and pray in 1 minute. Make a commitment by God. Make a commitment by his grace. Ignorance of the ways of God. I'm tired of shadow boxing, living my life by guesswork, hoping I am right. You can step into a level of predictability and excellence in your spiritual life through knowledge. It says, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Number four. Why do we lose in this kingdom? Don't forget what we're dealing with. We're examining why believers lose. Number one, I said, is lack of discernment. Number two, carelessness. Number three, ignorance of the ways of God. Ignorance of the laws of the kingdom. People lose financially because they do not understand the kingdom truths allocated for their excellence on that wise. People lose to principalities and powers and demons and live defeated lives because they do not understand the weapons of victory that have been given to the believer. Just knowing that victory has been purchased for us in Christ does not administer victory to you. The administration of victory is by light. Are we together now? Yes. So just being aware does not bless you. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 18, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. It takes knowledge. It takes knowledge. It takes knowledge. It takes knowledge. I commend you to God, he says, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and then to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Are we together? The Bible says an heir for as long as that heir is a child. A child means one who is void of knowledge. It says he differeth not from a slave, even though he be Lord of all. Number four, why do we lose in this kingdom? Abuse and misuse. Write it down, please. Abuse and misuse. A major reason why believers lose. Abuse and misuse. Just write for reference. We may not have the time to go through it. Matthew chapter 25. When you read from verse 14 to 30. Matthew 25, 14 to 30. We abuse and we misuse time. This was the story of the, what they call it now? The three people who were given talents, parable of the talents. One, five, one, two, and the other one. And you can see how careful and intentional the first two were. The last person was careless. He went and buried his talent. You bury seeds, not talents. You see that? And when the master came, he said, I know you are a hard man. You like reaping where you did not sow. So I thought that instead of wasting your talent, I do you a favor by burying it. Here is your talent. And he called him a wicked and unprofitable servant. Abuse. The word abuse comes from two words. Abnormal use. Abnormal use. People abuse opportunities. They abuse access. They abuse moments. And they lose. Many people have abused access to great people, access to great minds. We continue to lose because of abuse. Abuse of privileges. Remember in 2 Samuel, just write it for reference again, 2 Samuel chapter 2. Well, let's read from 12 to 17, but the entire text is from chapter 12 of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 12 down to chapter 1 Samuel chapter 2 down to 1 Samuel chapter 4. This was the story of the sons of Eli. But let's just look at chapter 2, 1 Samuel 2 from verse 12 to 17. The Bible talks about the sons of Eli. Remember, Hophni and Phinehas. The Bible says the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Read to 17. It says, and the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifices, the priest's servants came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And they struck into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot all that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. It was a privilege of priesthood. And this principle still works till today in the body of Christ. Are you seeing that now? There are privileges that priesthood brings, but there can be the abuse of it. To cut the story, the long story short, it was that when the meat or whatever the sacrifice was boiling, you are given the privilege to put that fork and whatever you bring out, it is your own blessing from the Lord. But Hophni and Phinehas said, before you boil it, let us clearly look at it and pick. You see that? They kept taking advantage of the fact that their father was a priest. You will see their end. Remember the story Ichabod? When the ark of God was taken, they were also captured and killed. They brought Eli a report and said, listen, your sons are dead. That was not even what disturbed him. They said the ark of the Lord has been captured. He fell down, broke his neck, and that was the end of it. Abuse. 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 And misuse. Many of us have misused privileges. We have misused opportunities. Have you heard people say, I'm connected to so many people and none of them can help me? Find out why none of them can help you, even though you are close to them. You abuse access to their numbers. You call them every time and say, you are not answering me. Have you forgotten we are relatives? Abuse. And you know, sadly speaking, Africa, we are masters of abuse. We abuse opportunities. We abuse moments. You have there is an entitlement mentality. Are we together now? We just believe that someone somewhere owes us to succeed and come and bring an honorarium from that success. Abuse and misuse. Number 5. Why do people lose? The final reason I'll give you is tests and trials. It is true that when we go through seasons of tests and trials, like the Bible shows, it is possible that we lose things. In James chapter 1 from verse 2 and 3. James chapter 1 from verse 2 and 3. Here's what the Bible says. Brethren. So he's talking to brethren. He's not talking to they who are outside of faith. Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, he says. Knowing this, your confidence should be based on this knowledge, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Are we together now? It is true that when people are going through seasons of prunings and trainings, it's an uncomfortable truth. But it is true that people momentarily can lose things. Are we together? We read all through scripture that people were constrained when David was in the cave of Adullam running away. He lost several things, opportunities, even though he had people there with him. When Joseph, on account of his diligence and his honor to God and to the integrity of his person, he found himself in the prison. He lost the opportunity to be the head. Even though he was a slave, there were privileges that were withdrawn from him. So there are times that we go through seasons that, on account of the dealings of God in our lives, on account of several things, it is possible that we can lose some of these things. Maybe you are a person of integrity in the office, and on account of your integrity, it's possible that momentarily you can lose a few things, privileges, opportunities. These are the 5 reasons I have examined from scripture and from experience why people lose. Let me do a 1-minute recap. Lack of discernment, carelessness, ignorance of the laws of the kingdom, abuse and misuse, then tests and trials. But I have good news for you, that in the name of Jesus, it does not matter by which means, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, there must be restoration in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now please pay attention. Let me give you by the Spirit about 4 keys that are responsible for restoration. Are you ready? Number 1. The first key that is truly responsible for restoration, if you want God to restore moments, time, or whatever it is in your life, the first key is self-examination. The power of self-examination. Second Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. It says to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Examine yourself. Can I tell you this? When people are downcast, they do not take the personal responsibility of saying, listen, why am I here? This is not self-condemnation. You have to learn to sit with yourself. Why are things not working for this family? Why is it that I have been in Lagos for 10 years and I've only celebrated the testimony of others? There is something about the responsibility of thoughtfulness that most believers do not submit themselves to. You have to sit down and ask yourself honest questions. The Bible says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Luke chapter 15 from verse 17. I'll just cut it and start from verse 17. This is a very classic story that demonstrates responsibility and the power of self-examination. This is the story of the prodigal son. The Bible says when he came to, he never said the Holy Ghost spoke to him. It is within your power to come to yourself. Sometimes you see pain is a gift because it can bring you to a point where you come to yourself. It is true. When things happen too cheap, when you keep reaping harvest for seeds you did not sow, there are many of us who have been shielded by the love of others, and it has never given us an opportunity to examine ourselves. Whether you sow or not, someone's harvest, he will share it with you. And chances are excellent that you can think that because you are receiving a harvest outsourced from another, you don't see the value of seed time. You don't see the value of anything because someone else is shielding you. The power of self-examination. You must learn this. Have a time where you stay alone with God. Lock yourself, go somewhere and say, Lord, I'm not happy at the way my life is going. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1 says, it says, through desire, a man, having separated himself, he seeketh and intermeddleth with wisdom. Once you separate yourself, you have separated yourself from foolishness too. The moment you take the pain of separating yourself, it is wisdom you will encounter. Are we together? Yes. Why is my business not working? Why is my spiritual life not working? I've been born again for 10 years, but I barely know anything about the principles of scripture. Why is it that I'm not attentive in church? You have to examine yourself and ask yourself very honest questions. The power of self-examination. Number two, what is the second key that makes for restoration? Brokenness. Psalm 51 and verse 17, brokenness. Do you know what brokenness is? Brokenness is a state of recognition. Recognizing your inadequacy, your inability to help yourself unassisted. That if God does not come into this equation of my life to help me, my best will still be limited. Brokenness. Many people want God to restore them, restore their dignity and their honor, but that sense of self-righteousness and pride is still alive there. In the story of the prodigal son, listen, the father did not come to meet the rebellious, arrogant son. The father came to meet a son that was already repentant and was ready to be restored. Are we together? Brokenness is very powerful. You walked out on your CEO and you lost your job. You are secretly hoping you will get back to the job, but you do not have the humility to be broken to admit that I was wrong. And somehow you are hoping. It does not work that way. Brokenness is not something you assume. It is a state that everyone around you will know this person is broken. There are many people today, if they were broken enough, they would have relationships restored together with the privileges. If that boy sat down there, the prodigal son, I presume if he stayed one more year in that foolishness, he would have died because he was already close to death. He said, how many hired servants does my father have, and I'm here feeding with the swine? I will arise and I will go to my father. And when I meet him, I will say, Father, I have sinned. I won't say, Father, it was just my mind. My mind was playing some emotional games. Call it what it is. I have sinned against you. I have sinned against heaven. The character of brokenness is that it admits without shame. Are we together? Pastor, I am sorry I offended you. This is not the way it should be. It was carelessness. I take full responsibility. That's brokenness. The Bible says, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou will not despise. Many, many, many people are unable to experience restoration in their lives because they are not genuinely broken. Genuinely broken. There are many children who would get back the support of their parents, their sponsors, their loved ones, if only they communicate brokenness in truth and in sincerity. Is that true? Brokenness. Number three, what's the third key that makes for restoration? Knowledge. 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 Proverbs 11, I believe verse 9 says, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Isaiah chapter 60 says, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You arise and you shine when your light comes. Knowledge. Knowledge of what? Not knowledge of your situation or knowledge of what you want. Knowledge of what it takes. Listen, most people know what they want. They even know what they don't want. But they do not have the knowledge of what it takes. Is that true? So, this is what I want. I desire this so desperately. And this is it here. The Bible says that this should be given to me. But you must know, have the requisite level of spiritual illumination that takes you from prophecy to experience. Otherwise, you will keep wishing things that will never, never manifest in your life. It takes more than knowing what God has said. It takes more than knowing what God has told you to have it. Is that true? You must find out the participatory condition he has connected to that promise. You're acting in keeping with the condition is your demonstration of faith. That faith is not just believing alone. Believing is part of the process of faith. Faith is the name given to the action of obedience you take as a sign that you believe God. I don't know if I've demonstrated it here, but say for instance, I call this gentleman and I say, come and pick this. You see, don't come. But just say you are coming. Say you are coming. Look at this. Shout it again. Say I'm coming. 2018. Say you are coming. 2019. Say you are coming. 2020. The promise is still there waiting. You have not manifested faith. You've just been wishing that you will have it. And someone will come in 2022. My brother, walk and come and collect it. And you are wondering, where did you come from? It is the person who took the action of faith. Lord, I'm going to build a house. You've never found out where there's an empty land. You are waiting for your bank account. It does not cost money to go and know where land is. And say, Lord, I have seen the land. And someone who came from nowhere, now the person is roofing his house and you are wondering. Faith is not just saying what God has said. Faith is doing what it takes as prescribed by scripture to make what God has said be manifest in your life. Are we together? Thank you. Knowledge. We need high level spiritual illumination. Let me challenge you. I want you to go back home and write a list of all the areas in your life where you have not seen the word of God produce the kind of result that you desire, knowing that God is glorified in your results. Remember what the Bible says. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see. God wants men to see, because in seeing the result that proceeds from you, they will glorify God. Herein is our Father glorified. John 15 and verse 8. When ye bear much fruit, not little fruit, sustainable, predictable results brings glory to the name of the Lord. Are we together? Galatians 1:25, it says, and they glorified God in me. They glorified God in me. The excellency of the workings of the word in and through your life, it compels all and sundry to know that Jesus Christ is lifted and glorified in and through your life. God is counting on everyone here as a membership, counting on individuals, that through your life will become a living epistle. Someone will look at your life this year, and anything he did not understand in the morning, he will look at your life for the explanation. If he read his Bible in the morning and he saw that God was faithful, that God is faithful, and he did not get that Bible study, God will tell him, look at this pastor as an explanation, a clarification to what you have learned. That's what it means to be a living epistle. Your life explains what people do not understand about God. When God says that he can favor men, if they say, Lord, is it real that you can favor men? He personifies his word, embodies it in an individual, so that you become a demonstration of it. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man sent from God, for no man can do these things except God be with him. There are certain results that are not within the realm of men. When you see men manifest that result, it was outsourced from a dimension that is higher than this human dimension. And I'm praying for someone here. The frequency of results that you will begin to walk in, you will be the first person surprised by your results. In the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, do not allow anybody downplay the place of results. Your Christian experience will remain a frustrated experience if you do not have genuine, notable results. Gentiles will not come to you. They will come to your light. Their kings will not come to your light. They will come to the brightness of your rising. Preachers, here, whether I'm in this ministry or those who came, this is the year to contend for high levels of spiritual power, high levels of wisdom, the kind of wisdom that is connected to mighty works. Business people, this is the year to operate at a dimension that your contemporaries will come to you and say, we have discerned that God is with you. Believe what I'm saying. Results are powerful. Results can evangelize. There are certain messages that only results can preach. The Bible said the Greek seek for a sign. The world is tired of vain explanations from Christians. One genuine result in the name of the Lord can bring to end decades of confusion. Knowledge. We rise in this kingdom by knowledge. There is what you must know. There is what you must know to reign and to excel. There is what you must know to remain on fire. There is what you must know to access the spirit of wisdom. There is what you must know about kingdom influence. There is what you must know about longevity. There is what you must know about wealth and abundance. There is what you must know about dominion over systems and structures. There is what you must know about relationships. The question is, which aspect of your life are you short? Go back and become a spiritual archaeologist. He said, for everyone that seeketh, findeth. Jesus gave a parable. We're praying now. He gave a parable and he said, the kingdom is likened to an individual who lost a coin in a room. The coin means a treasure. The power to make purchases was missing in the room. He knew that that coin is somewhere. The first thing he did was he brought light.
The second thing he did was to carry a broom and started sweeping. I know this breakthrough is somewhere in scripture. I don't know what verse, I don't know what principle, but I know in scripture God lifts. I know in scripture God restores. I've not understood the dynamics. You are sweeping, sweeping with messages, sweeping with prophetic words. And the Bible says she found it and she rejoiced. Can I tell you this? Every time you claim you have found something and it does not show in your life, you are yet to find it. I found your word and it was a joy and a rejoicing to my soul. Listen, light is powerful. Light is powerful. When you find this thing, you have found it. Believe me. Listen, you can gain mastery in the spirit. You truly can gain mastery in the spirit. It says, he that strives for mastery is not crowned except he strives lawfully. Move past the realm of trial and error, shadow boxing and hoping that one thing or the other will work. You can rise to a level of predictability in your Christian experience. That you wake up in the morning and you know you will be favored today. You know. Paul said, but I know whom I have believed. He said, I am persuaded. Knowledge. Knowledge. You must submit yourself through the labor dimension of faith to access knowledge. No matter how great a door is, there is a small key that opens it. And you can put that key in your pocket. But if that key is missing, you can stand before that door from morning till night. But then if you find the key that is knowledge, you need understanding. Because there are times that you can have the key and the dynamics of opening that door. Some doors you turn once. Some doors you turn twice. For others, you turn and do some other things. The Bible says, in all thy getting, get understanding. Knowledge tells you what to do. Understanding tells you how to do it. Knowledge says, give. But understanding tells you how to give in a way that prospers you. Knowledge tells you, pray. Understanding tells you how to pray to get results. Knowledge says fast. Understanding tells you the kind of fast that has been commanded. It's good to have knowledge, but in addition to knowledge, have understanding. Understanding brings stability to your life. My time is up. Number four. The last, and then we'll pray. Be sensitive now. I want to pray for you. The fourth key that activates restoration is the prophetic. Someone's life is changing. Isaiah 42 and verse 22. Isaiah 42 and verse 22. Never forget this scripture. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey and none deliver it. Read with me. They are for a spoil and none say it. Restore. Restoration does not just happen. Someone must say it. None say it. Restore. None say it. Restore. In 2 Kings chapter 6, when you read the first 7 verses very quickly, 2 Kings chapter 6, this was a very interesting rendition. The Bible says, the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we meet with you is too small. So it was a desire to advance. Next verse, it says, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. And take thee every man a beam and let us make a place where we may dwell. And he answered and said, go ye. Verse 3. And one said, be content, I pray thee, go with thy servants. And he answered and he said, I will go. Verse 4. So he went with them. And they came to Jordan and cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. He cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Wise man. Many people would try to jump inside the river and die there. No. There are certain results that you cannot just get it by yourself. God has positioned people within the body that in addition and in connection to your faith, this man cried and said, alas, master, I'm in trouble. I borrowed this. The prophet said, where fell it? And he answered, he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it thither, and the iron did swim. The iron did swim. The finances that left you did come back. Because you see, everything that left you is still on earth. Under a certain condition, it can come back. This is true. Please listen to me. When the prophetic is administered outside the boundary of scripture, it just becomes a display of ignorance with no potency and power. But when the prophetic is administered within the jurisdiction of scripture, it works wonders. Listen to me, my beloved people, there is a dimension of growth and restoration and excellence that only the prophetic can bring to your life. When you lose money, it's not another business that will bring the money back. No, you will only waste your time and keep digging deeper. It is the prophetic that will bring it back. It may look like a physical structure brought it back, but it is the prophetic. The economy of a whole land had gone down, and a prophet said, by this time tomorrow. He gave it the timing. And by the morrow, there was restoration. I saw this vision and I knew that the Lord wanted me to teach and charge and prophesy restoration. Listen to me. God can restore men. God can restore things. And God can restore time. Do you know how God restores time? He does not take you backward. He takes what was in your yesterday that should have happened that did not happen. He brings it into your tomorrow. Are you getting the point now? You have to understand how God restores, because God does not exist in time. He does not even exist in eternity, because eternity is time. It's just time without end. Infinite summations, summations of infinite dispensations. God dwells in a realm that is neither eternity nor time. So there is nothing like past, present, and future with God. That reality is only given to men to help us relate with God. There is no such thing as a future. There is no such thing as past. God's realm is now. That's it. So your yesterday is as clear and real to God as your tomorrow. There is no difference. Are we together? So he can move something that should have happened in year 2000, 2015. Maybe at that time when that prophetic word would have come, you were not sensitive. God can move it into January and February and make it happen in your life. This is restoration. In 1 minute, wherever you are, I want you to pray very passionately and cry based on this word. Ask the Lord to bring restoration. Don't waste this moment. Go ahead and pray. All the centers that are following overflows, those following online, here is your chance to contact the grace that makes for restoration. Lift your voice and pray. Shanakata brande gede belekosia. He barakos kade la kashande la katsozi beheske dialas. And I will restore. Shabrate keskatiba lakosidias. Brande barakatuska di predike lahasia. Someone pray. Skata predike da lakuska di brande lahasia da. Shabres kadi la suda balakusia. Let there be restoration. Pray. God can restore people, relationships. God can restore things. And God can restore years. Someone is praying. Lord, I've wasted 10, 15 years of my life. I wasted it not being a believer. But now in Christ, I am aware that it is within your power to restore. I call for that restoration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and by a prophet, the Lord God brought Israel out of Egypt. It was the Lord that brought them, but the instrument was the prophetic. It says, and by a prophet, they were preserved. Let me read this one scripture, and then I'll just take 2 or 3 minutes to just minister and speak over your life, and we'll end with an altar call. Nehemiah chapter 5 from verse 11. Please do not forget this scripture. Nehemiah chapter 5 from verse 11. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, their houses, also 100 part of the money, and of the corn, and wine, and oil that ye exact of them. Listen to that scripture. Someone is making a decree. He said, restore everything. Their lands, vineyards, olive yards, houses, 100 part of the money, the corn, the wine, the oil. Verse 12. Then said they, we will obey. We will restore them and will require nothing of them. So we will do as thou sayest. Then I called the priest and took an oath of them that they should do according to his promise. It was the priest that came to seal it. A command has come, restore. But there must be the priest that says, sign. You must make this happen. Restore. Restore my joy. Restore victory. Restore everything. Listen. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it says we were like them that dream. Our mouths were filled with laughter and they testified among the heathen. The Lord had done great things for them. It says the Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Then it says, turn again our captivity like the streams of the Negev. I sense in my spirit that there are people here. I tell you, I sense such a strong anointing. We just have about 2 or 3 minutes. We're not taking too much time. But I want you to believe in the power of God. The power of God is his currency for purchasing realities for believers. That as a result of this encounter, many of you will return with tearsome testimonies. And will say, I've not seen it in this fashion before. Hallelujah. There are 3 categories of people I want to pray with very quickly. Very, very quickly. And then I just speak over our lives. Number one. I want to impart the grace for speed. Listen, truly believe me when I tell you there is a grace for speed. There is an exact grace for speed. That when that grace comes upon an individual, you know, because you will have dominion over time. Dominion over time. Many of us are limited by time. Dominion over time. I want to pray for you. I sense such a strong anointing. I'm seeing the number 24. Even though I'm going to pray for everyone, we have just, my time is up, so we'll not have, we still have a session hopefully tomorrow, either here or any of the centers. But I want you to be very, very sensitive. I want to pray now. There are people you are moving, but your life is too slow. You don't have all the time for that level of slow movement. I want to pray. There are people who will start running by the anointing. Please, I want you to help them. If you can bring them out here, let's have them. I stretch my hands to the God of heaven. No, you don't have to come out. The anointing will bring you out. In the name of Jesus, right now, by the rod of the apostolic and the prophetic, I decree and declare, bring them out. Paratos shanekatea, kebre katos. Speed, take that grace. Take that grace. In the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, I decree and declare over families, over businesses. Speed, speed, speed. HICC Lekki, hear the word of the Lord. I decree and declare over you, speed in the name of Jesus. Speed in business. Speed in your spiritual adventure. My goodness, may that hand of God rest upon you in the mighty and marvelous name of Jesus. Bring them out if you can. Just 1 minute and we're done. Parandes katila katosiata. Every delay that has kept you bound, so that you want to move forward and you're unable to move forward, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come by the privilege of the election of grace, and I declare those chains, let you go now. Let you go now. Let you go now. Paros kati bakato seketea. Embrekete kapatos kati lakata. Speed. Speed. Every closed door that will not let you move forward, I speak to that door. Ephata, be open. Ephata, be open. Doors of opportunities. In the name of Jesus. Doors of grace. Doors of new seasons. Doors of discernment. Doors of the prophetic. Doors of the apostolic. In the name of Jesus Christ. Everything you have lost that left your life and should not have left, I stand by the power of the prophetic. Between now and the next 3 months, I call upon my God. Hear me, I'm speaking to you. Everything that left Kapatos Katigata, that left your life, your destiny, in 90 days, by the Spirit of grace, I command it to be restored now. Everywhere, the overflows, the centers, be restored. Be restored. Be restored. Be restored. Be restored. And anyone holding what should get to your hands and has refused to release it, I call upon the God of Jeshurun, the one who rides upon the wings of the wind. Let it be restored 100-fold. Every pending project that you've started and has refused to be completed, the Bible says the hand of Zerubbabel that began this work, that same hand will perfect it. I pray 2022, I speak it, that let this be your year of completion. What God has started in your life, This is the year you will see it completed. Hallelujah. Final prayer for you. Every destiny helper anointed to locate you and partner with prophecy as far as your restoration is concerned, wherever they are, I prophesy to the north, the south, and the east, and the west, by the spirit of grace, I call them to your life now. I call them to your life now. HICC, hear me. I speak to you by the spirit of grace. Enlarge to the left. Enlarge to the right. Enlarge to the east. Enlarge to the west. Break forth to new seasons. In the name of Jesus Christ. Businesses, break forth. Families, break forth. Ministries, break forth. Career, break forth. In the name of Jesus. That when men say there is a casting down, for you let it be that this year there is a lifting up. Hear me. Everyone who is part of this spiritual family, whether here represented in this branch, across the other branches, connecting from around the world, I speak and I decree and declare, in the name of Jesus, as God has declared to the man of God and his wife, I join my faith with them and I speak, this year, may you see a performance of prophecy. In the name of Jesus, and for all who are out here, I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that everything limiting you, it goes for your sake now. You will go and return with testimonies from this night. Not tomorrow, from this night. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please return to your seats rejoicing. Now very quickly, we're out of time. I want to make an altar call. Listen, we are in the days of his power. We are in the days where it is costly to reject Jesus. Here's what the Bible says. Please look up. Let me have your attention. All the overflows, all the centers following, please pay attention. There are men and women, you must find them in every meeting ordained by God and of God, who come there in need of genuine salvation. Others in need of restoration, spiritual restoration. And I believe there are people in this auditorium, all the overflows and all those who are following, you're saying, Apostle, I genuinely need Jesus Christ. Not just as a religious or church thing. I need a functional relationship with the God of the Bible. And there are others who are saying, Apostle, I need restoration. As it stands, I cannot say I'm proud of my spiritual life. I know that I need restoration. Very quickly, we have just a minute for you. Wherever you are inside here, I want you to quickly come and stand before me. I'm going to count 1 to 5. Run like there's fire on the mountain. 1. You want to make Jesus Lord of your life? Please don't come arbitrarily. Make sure you understand what you are doing. 2. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son. And leaving your spirit till your work on earth is done. The greatest experience that the believer can have is the experience of receiving the life of Jesus in this encounter that we call the new birth. An exchange of your weakness for his strength. His life imparted into your spirit. For all of you who are in front here, whether making a first time decision or rededicating your hearts to Jesus, please lift your hands high above your head. Say this after me truthfully. Don't play games with God. We are in the days where we need high level spirituality to excel in this life. Some of you are crying. There's no reason to be ashamed. This is an encounter with Jesus.
Say after me, Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart, and I believe that you are the Son of God. Tonight, I come before you just as I am. I ask you to wash me, to cleanse me, make me anew. I believe that Jesus is my Savior, my Lord, and King. And I receive eternal life into my spirit. From today, I am a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, thank you for these ones. They have come declaring your lordship over their lives. And scripture declares that as many who would come to you, you will in no wise cast away. I pray by the authority of scripture, and I declare that your sins are forgiven. And I decree and declare that you are recipients of the life of God. In the name of Jesus, I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over your life. From tonight and forever, you walk in the newness of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Now I see forms. Okay, just be patient. The counselors are handing you over a card. Please do well to have the card before you go back. Now, here's what we'll require of you. Please do well to complete the cards legibly. And I believe that after the service, there should be an usher of someone who you can pass it to. Complete all the details required. Make sure you have the card. Once you have the card, you can do well to go back to your seat. I hope I'm right on that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And for all of us who are left, I declare one last time that in the name of Jesus, as a result of this encounter, every expectation that you have, the Bible says your expectation will not be cut short. I pray for you. Everything that represents a request by the God of heaven, who is my God and your God, I declare, let it come to pass speedily. In the name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord honor you. In Jesus' name I pray.